This is Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, Senior Editor at Yes Media. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. A New York City jury last week ordered Donald Trump to pay $83.3 million in damages to journalist E. Jean Carroll for defamation. Trump had spent years maligning Carroll in public forums, sometimes dozens of times in a single day. Ms. Carroll celebrated the settlement, saying, quote, "This is a great victory for every woman who stands up when she's been knocked down, and a huge defeat for every bully who has tried to keep a woman down." But Trump responded by claiming that, quote, "Our legal system is out of control and being used as a political weapon." He added, "They've taken away all First Amendment rights." Not surprisingly, such views were echoed in coverage of the settlement by right-wing media personalities. We turn now to Courtney Hagel, Research Director at Media Matters for America. Welcome to the program, Courtney.
Hi, thank you for having me.
One of the pieces of news coverage that Media Matters highlighted on your website was an interview that Steve Bannon did with Matt Schlapp. And I just want to read this quote from this interview where Matt said that Donald Trump has all of us on his hands, on his shoulders, all around him. He's standing up for all of us when he takes these slings and arrows. And if they're able to keep him out of the White House, if they're somehow able to keep him out, they're going to change this country in a way you've never seen before. All of us will be paraded down the gangplank. We won't have our resources. We won't have our homes. We won't have our livelihood. Wow. Those are extremely, that's extreme hyperbole. How do you respond to that?
Unfortunately, it's really not very surprising to me. The Trump era has really kind of brought forward this, sort of victim complex that right-wing media has been kind of wielding to really deflect any sort of criticism. This kind of narrative started during the Trump presidency, where it was really, he hammered that he was fighting for, the everyday American and these external forces, which could be the Democrats, the DNC, the judicial system, the deep state, if you will, are all kind of working in tandem to do whatever possible to stop Trump from power and kind of, advancing that MAGA agenda. So it's not surprising that this is how, Matt Schlapp, Steve Bannon, and conservative media have responded, because the infrastructure of conservative media has been so well built over the last few years that they're able to kind of adapt and respond to any effort to hold Trump accountable and kind of reframe it as an attack on Trump to stop him from entering the White House in November.
I think this is such a critical point, this idea mm-hmm. that any attack on Donald Trump is an attack on all conservative America, particularly, mm-hmm. Embattled white America who's being attacked by all the woke feminists and immigrants and, black people wanting better treatment and an end to racism and women mm-hmm. wanting equal treatment and an end to sexism and an end to sexual assault, which is what this case was about. I mean, it was about defamation, but at the heart, it was about a woman who was first sexually assaulted and then crucified in the media by Trump. But in their mind, in the minds of the Trump supporters, they're the victims, which is quite remarkable.
Right. Yeah, it's all very insidious and all kind of a backlash of sorts. I've seen people in conservative media compare this case to Brett Kavanaugh and say, he was also, there was a vicious effort to try and take him down. It's a backlash to 2020 protests and, efforts to kind of, strive towards more equality and, anti-racism efforts and that sort of thing. So it's really all tied together. And I think that's kind of the important thing to remember here is this case was this specific case. And, there are facts specific to this case, but they respond like this, to everything. There's cases in Georgia, New York. It's all the same kind of narrative that The judge is corrupt. The verdict and jury are corrupt. The facts don't back it up. And this is all an effort to keep Trump out of 2024. And as conservatives, we have to stand behind him no matter what. So they're very well insulated. And it's really difficult to permeate through this kind of bubble conservative media has built up because the infrastructure is so readily available to respond so fast that, that frame is immediately what the conservative base is hearing and receiving.
So when you have such a scenario where there is this bubble that the right-wing media have created, that conservative voters are kind of encased in, then attacks on Trump and legal settlements or verdicts against Trump only serve their point, right? That the country is out to get them and people like them, and Trump is sort of the symbol for all of them, which makes it really hard to oppose Trump
It
and the dangers he represents.
is. Yeah, it's very a big reason it's difficult to permeate this bubble is kind of every evidence that we see as more wrongdoing by Trump, they view as more evidence of the deep state establishment trying to take him down. So, not to redirect too much, but there's efforts to keep him off the ballot because of January 6th. There's multiple January 6 investigations going on, along with investigations pertaining to the 2020 election. Any, perceived victories or progress with those lawsuits, only leads to more ammunition. And we see it in Trump's fundraising. We see it in the rhetoric really amping up around this. They view it as, more evidence to their kind of flip side theory that Trump's under attack, and by, extension, so are conservatives.
So what does it take then to break that bubble? I mean, I know that Media Matters has this approach of critiquing and fact-checking right-wing media. Do you know if that has an effect?
So, that's a very difficult question. I think, we would all love to have an answer for how to permeate that bubble. I believe it's a very difficult bubble to permeate, and the goal with us kind of elevating those fact checks and, we write about Bannon and stuff like that, it's less to kind of fact check them for their purposes and more of to try and, shine a light and a disinfectant so that other people, mainstream media, voters are able to kind of recognize what this right-wing infrastructure looks like. Because, unfortunately, I don't have a good answer for how to really break that bubble. But what we try and do is just kind of expose the bubble more. And, pertaining to these specific investigations, it's difficult because the more progress we make on holding Trump accountable, the more they feel vindicated on their end.
This settlement that was awarded by the jury, wasn't something that E. Jean Carroll basically did on her own. This was in a court of law. It was done by a jury of Trump and Carroll's peers. This was, I understand that the jury just took a very short amount of time to deliberate because it was so clear. Are you worried that there is just this, completely distorted reality in this extremely important election year, and that how we shape narratives is actually a big part of the story, much bigger than perhaps most of us realize?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe a few years ago, even 10 years ago, it was kind of Fox News was the big, purveyor of right-wing misinformation, but the ecosystem has gotten much larger. It's no longer just Fox. There's One America News, there's Newsmax, there's Steve Bannon and War Room's podcast, which is an enormously influential conservative media source. And so while we're all hearing those facts that you just kind of laid out, what they're hearing is, a deep dive into the judge's background, forming flimsy connections with Democrats to, come to the conclusion that the judge is corrupt. Okay, now
Or that
here's the reason.
Biden somehow orchestrated the whole thing.
Right. Or, the jury's corrupt, the verdict is corrupt. They're able to kind of delegitimize every factor, every point of the justice system and the kind of legal process so that when you offer that to the conservative base and say, you know, what about point XYZ that played out in the courtroom? They say, you know, it was not a legitimate trial. It was not a legitimate court. Therefore, I don't care what the jury found. I don't care what the judge found. I don't care what the verdict is, because it's just they're primed to respond to these facts by rejecting them.
I want to pick up on what you were saying earlier, that the sort of era of Fox News seems to not have, or seems to be sort of different, seems to have changed. We now have this very different ecosystem. Doesn't that make it that much harder then to actually oppose or to push back against right-wing media?
I think definitely the fragmentation of conservative media has created more challenges. Again, conservative media opposes each other. We've seen both conservatives and Republicans and presidential candidates, you know, express frustration with Fox. They no longer have to rely on just Fox. But at the same time, Fox is still, you know, continuing to boost Trump and, you know, work with the Republican Party. I wouldn't really say they're pulling back on that in any regard. There's just a lot more competition, which just kind of naturally creates, you know, people can pick and choose which corners of conservative media they kind of flock to. But they're all very on message. And I think that's kind of an important thing to remember, is this is an infrastructure that is mobilized and ready to respond with the talking point and, you know, toe whatever line they need to do to kind of insulate their audience and base from ever really breaking out of that.
Where can people find out more about the work of Media Matters, Courtney?
MediaMatters.org. We are also active on social media. Media Matters across social media platforms. You know, social media is another thing that's kind of fragmented. So we're on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, YouTube. We're working more on kind of long form video explainers. So we're pretty active across social media as well as our website.
And certainly sharing Media Matters' videos might be very helpful in this election year as people seek to clarify the facts from the rhetoric. Courtney, thank you so much for joining us and good luck to you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
My guest has been Courtney Hagel, Research Director at Media Matters for America. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, Senior Editor at Yes Media and host of Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Our audio podcast is on iTunes and Spotify.